baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Jet Republic. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this is not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How's the world treating you, sir?
Not too bad. Just got back from a walk with Maybe. How about you?
I wish I could say I went for walks with my cats. That's the next step, but now I go for walks with the cats, but it's more like a prison yard visit because I have to watch to make sure they don't kill a bird or run away.
Yeah.
So it's very like supervised.
The stroller's encased. So I don't see that in LA. I know LA seems to be more of a walk your dog town, but I don't see too many cats in strollers.
No, it's definitely a dog town, but or I should say walk your dog town, but mm-hmm. The cat stroller phenomenon is taking off.
Okay.
I'm starting to see different people, you know, walking their cats in the stroller, and I ask them what brand it is, like I'm doing my homework, and it sounds like the one you have is Pet Gear is pretty good.
Pet Gear, yep. So
Light Show is sponsored by Pet Gear. And it's a free stroller. We'll mention it on every show. But the when Maybe's in the stroller, she is never trying to get out, right? She's just kind of like enjoying it.
She enjoys it, and she likes to actually I hit a big bump and I kind of whatever, and I was like, are you okay? And she's rolling around laughing. She's having fun. So
oh yeah.
But yeah, she tells me when it's time to go. She's like, let's get going. But lately, because it's so nice, she likes to at the end of the walk sit and on the front steps and just watch the lake and birds and stuff like that. So
soaks it up.
She does. When I got home tonight, it was a shorter walk because we were going to record this podcast, and she didn't get out of the stroller. She's like, I'm not done yet.
Oh, I love that. I love when they don't get out. We do that when we bring them home from the vet or something, or they're in the cat carrier. Sometimes I'll just like go in there and hang out. I'm like, okay, you can do that if you want.
Yeah. So I burned a few calories.
Burned a few cows. The cat stroller, we looked at one, I think the last time was like 10 years ago, and they've come a long way. I remember it was really expensive when we like looked at them a while ago.
Yeah.
And there's just so many more options now, and they've just gotten, it's really improved in like the last 10 years.
They have some double-deckers.
There's some double-deckers. Yeah. You could do like the duo. They're better than kid strollers, really.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
We care about our cats more than that.
Of course. We're a little we're classier than these kids, those little brats. But we have breaking news, folks. We've talked about the Disney World Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel when it first opened, and Robert brought it to our attention before, and the reviews and the videos and everything was weird. But it's finally closing. Is anybody surprised, Robert?
I can't imagine. I mean, it was a mess from the beginning.
Yeah.
It was too expensive. The rooms were way too small. It seems like, so I've never been on a cruise. It seems worse than a cruise because there's literally no windows. They do have one outdoor patio spot if you want to get fresh air. I can't remember what they call it, like pretend atmosphere or something like that. But otherwise, and then they, not too soon after they opened, they started no photos or videos. You know, I was like, you're spending thousands and thousands of dollars. You can't even capture your own.
That was the thing that really stuck out was the price. It was like $6,000 for a 2-day experience or something like that. And you couldn't take photos. There was no windows. I mean, for that kind of money, I expect to feel like I am in a Star Wars movie for 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, like I want the lightsaber. I want interaction with characters. That's a lot of dough to be spending.
Mark Hamill better be there.
Yeah, he better be there. So just to recap, the guest pay from about $4,800 to $6,000 per cabin. Oof. And that's for a 2-night immersive experience. The concept has been touted as a way for sci-fi decorations, voyages, etc. But the spokesperson, Disney's official stance is that this was an experiment kind of thing. And obviously it wasn't, but it is a failure, but they're saying we really learned from this and this was a good, you know, experiment. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it was a disaster. And if you've seen photos, I know you have, that people posted, it's not anything that I would say is worth $4,800 for 2 days.
No, and they did it, like the rooms are kind of based on, they look like BB-8 style, so they're orange, but so they're not even hearkening to like the original trilogy stuff, which, you know, people are like, right. if you recreate the Death Star or something like that, people are like, oh, okay, where else am I going to get this? And now that we're talking, I remember they were ridiculed even before it opened, because remember they had videos and stuff that were horribly bad. That the first one went so bad, they took it down.
Then
they made everybody, people copied it, and they started claiming copyright claim and taking it down because they were so embarrassed on how much crap they were getting. But
they were getting a lot.
Yeah.
The video with the Indian actress in the one, I know her. She's been in my sketches before. Her name's Vanita. She's great. But
it wasn't her fault. It was, they were pretending to video like VHS stuff. Well, I was like that's not part of Star Wars lore, you know?
No, right. And I'm Max not suggesting it was her fault or implying that, but I was going to say is, she doesn't care that it failed, because she says, I can put in my Instagram, I'm part of the Star Wars canon. That's all like I wanted. And I was like, you could actually, because you are, that is a Disney thing.
Everybody saw her.
But she, I mean, I'm not going to quote her, because she's not here to speak herself, but I can tell you from the people I've talked to that everyone kind of admits, like, this was a really half-baked idea. They just threw it out there. They didn't really like do much. And they didn't try to improve it. They're shutting it down, you know?
Yeah, too costly for, I don't know. And the rooms are tiny. I mean, I don't think
they're like hospital rooms.
I've never stayed in that small of a room, let alone pay that much for it, yeah.
Now, I don't know what they're going to do next, but I have a feeling we're not going to see any more Star Wars hotels from Disney for a long, long time.
I'm betting that will be turned into lower budget motels, because the size of it, you know, I was just like, you know, I'm sure they won't demolish it, you know, but.
They probably won't demolish it, but they have so many hotel properties down there. It'll probably turn into like a Goofy's Adventure Land or something like that. And, but anyway, I thought it was interesting they closed. I'm sorry that they closed. I mean, it could have been such a cool thing if they did it right.
Correct.
But, you know, who wouldn't want to stay at a cool Star Wars hotel if it felt like the experience?
Oh, poor, I say poor Disney, but poor Disney. They get everything they deserve. So,
well, you're listening to the Podcastle, Set Jetter Saturdays, and you listeners are going to get what you deserve with the king tonight, Robert Patterson. Check him out at setjetter.com. I want to get into, we've poked our pinky toe in this topic before, but I want to talk about great movies of Boston. And I'll tell you why. I was speaking with somebody recently about Boston and the things that people outside of Boston get wrong about it. And I said, well, I just assume everything is like Mystic River and Sean Penn is just crying for his daughter in every corner. Like that's exactly what it is, Matt. I want to talk about these. I want to see which one of these. What do you think about this list?
I've seen, there's only a couple I've not seen. And of course, my go-tos, of course, are The Departed.
Added.
Did we talk about the Dunkin' Donuts commercial, which I kind of loved with Ben Affleck? What are the workers thinking? They're like, they're confusing him or someone with Matt Damon.
He's like, Matt Damon. He's like, I'm a real actor. It's like, his stuff's pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Ben actually says The Departed like we do. Yeah.
Did he become a spokesperson for them, like officially, or is he just, because he loves Dunkin' Donuts? Did that just
So there was a Super Bowl commercial with him and his wife, I'm putting that in quotes.
Right.
I'm sure she made it. It's like, you go out and make more money.
Right.
She's actually in the commercial too, or one of them, I can't remember. So, but I've just seen that one. But yeah, so obviously my go-tos are The Departed and The Town, which I love. The Town is one it's kind of at least a once a year watch for me.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And the town is such a fun ride, you know, like every scene is woven in there perfectly. And you just, gives you like what you want. And, you know, everybody's just so good in that.
Yeah.
You know, and there's the right amount of humor underneath the violence, you know, like they make, you know, when they're in the car scene and the cop kind of just turns his head when they're dressed as nuns with machine guns.
Yeah.
Like that whole situation's ridiculous. It's just funny. Like it's just such a good movie.
It's great. Victor Garber's in it, of course. So
yeah,
it's one of the, yeah. So it's one of my favorites. So, but,
yeah,
to me, yeah, that's an, I would say, easier watch than Departed. You need to set aside some time, and it's not,
yeah,
it's a great movie. It's not a, I don't know why you would call The Town fun, but it's right. A more enjoyable ride.
Oh yeah, I agree 100%. Departed, you know, I won't watch every year. I will watch The Town once a year. Departed, like you said, it's a great film, but it's a lot to sit through. You know, there's a lot going on. It's tough for me, spoiler alert. Like when you know kind of what happens with DiCaprio's character dying and everything, you kind of I'm okay just seeing that a few times in my life, you know.
It was better, yeah, better first time watch than
right,
continue, but it's still good. So, but yeah, so I went, yeah, somebody was just texting me because they were in Boston and they couldn't find one of the locations, but
oh really?
Yeah.
There's a set jetter on the scene.
Yeah, so, and I was I did locations
for the party. You did a few of these.
Yeah. And it was that whole area, kind of the warehouse area, is all built up now with, and kind of,
oh really,
semi-gentrified, it looked like. So, but
yeah,
it's still recognizable. But yeah, next time in Boston, I'm gonna have to go back and do the town locations.
Yeah, you know, the Boston, I would imagine, I've never been there, but it's such a cool city for filming, because like if you look at Mystic River, that Franklin, I think it's called the Franklin Park Zoo, the bear pit where the body was found, that is a real like abandoned zoo that's just like still there, and you can like walk through it. And they filmed, you know, scenes there. Like, I just think that's so cool. That's where, you know, Sean Penn did the, "Is that my daughter?
Is that
you know,
my
he's kind of screaming, and you're like, oh, you can walk there. So I was like googling around, and I'm thinking like, that's gotta be a cool set jetting city.
One day we should take a trip together and just sit, stand in the park and scream that.
Oh yeah, that's it.
I wonder if people do. I'm sure people do.
They have to. And I'm sure someone's like, your daughter's not in there.
Here they come, the set jetters again.
It's wicked cool. The set jetters again. Have you seen Black Mass? I know you're not a big Depp fan.
I am not. I remember seeing the previews and I couldn't get past
his eyes.
Prosthetics in his eyes. Yeah, his eyes are like, why? His eyes, I'm sure, were screen or real life accurate, but obviously, that's obviously something they can't get right. And I don't know if it's something in your face that you have a natural eye color. Anytime people have whatever, it's jarring.
You know what? You nailed it. They can never get the eyes right. It's better just to leave it as they are, because all you can do with that is focus on it. I mean, Johnny Depp in the movie, he plays Whitey Bulger. I think it's his best movie acting wise. Like they really brought it home and he did a good job. But he has, if you haven't seen the movie, he has these piercing blue eyes and you're like, he looks like an android. He looks like something out of AI. You know, it's just like, it's too much.
Yeah, something's not right.
Yeah, like how do you post, you know, produce that?
And like, and it's kind of like, what is it? White chicks, you know, they do the same thing. It's just like,
right.
There that could be intentional. And I always think of Wolf with Jack Nicholson and Michelle Pfeiffer, where at some point I was like, she's like, there's something strange about him. I'm like, yeah, his eyes are yellow. You know, it's like, of course there's something strange. But look at,
there's something strange about him. Yeah, he's a wolf. His eyes are yellow. I haven't seen Wolf in forever. Was that a big movie when it came out?
I don't think it did very well. It was touted to be a big movie.
Okay.
I could never get through it. I was just like, it was another failure of, you know, Wolfman failure. But
yeah, Wolf was, I'm trying to think what year it was, but I remember the marketing for that. I was a kid, was like off the wall. Like even Seinfeld spoofed it once. There was just so much going into Wolf. You remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the shaved chest.
It should, you know, Jack Nicholson and Michelle, you shouldn't be able to go wrong, but obviously it did.
Yeah, and she was this is 94. So she was well after Batman Returns, Jack Nicholson, was Jack Nicholson. Yep. And it looks
Joker and Catwoman together.
Yeah, right. Those two, Joker and Catwoman, the pieces should be all there. It looks like it didn't do very well.
Yeah. Hence no Wolf 2.
Ups. Have you seen Patriots Day? The rest of these are kind of...
I have not. I know you've talked, and so Mark Wahlberg, I take in small pieces anymore.
You need to microdose Mark Wahlberg?
Here and there, yeah. Especially lately, but...
Is it because he's Mark Wahlberg playing Mark Wahlberg and you like,
yeah. No? Yeah, and even let's say in The Departed, he's just two steps away from...
yeah. Oh, yeah. Mark,
yeah.
He's obnoxious in The Departed. I get what they're trying to do, but I'm like, does he have to be that much of a prick?
I guess so.
Like, he's still a cop.
Is that a typical Boston prick? Yeah.
Maybe.
But I mean, maybe. Yeah, I mean, he got it exactly right.
Well, he plays a cop in Patriots Day, too. Yeah.
So that's what he does.
You know what? I do like Patriots Day a lot. It's got Kevin Bacon, who is also in Black Mass and in Mystic River. So he's playing it's like the third time that he's playing a Boston cop in this movie, and he's the same. He's Kevin Bacon. He's interchangeable with all of them. So I'm like, please just give this character the same name in all of these things. Like, it's amazing.
It'd be one of those things that it should be the same universe, like we've discussed before. This is all taking place in the same real life. Yeah, Boston.
It's all here.
Yeah.
The Social Network. Oh, I skipped over The Fighter. This was where
Mark Wahlberg's in that too.
Mark Wahlberg is in that. And Christian Bale won the Oscar for that.
Yeah. He went through another body transformation, of course.
Of course. That and the Machinist. He had to. Yeah. He did the artificial bald spot in The Fighter. Oh,
yeah.
And the teeth. He's a meth head.
Yeah.
Anyway, the movie, he looked like tough it. To watch again.
Yeah, it's not. That's the thing. That's not an enjoyable one.
It's not. I don't want to admit that, but I am. It's not enjoyable. It's well done, but it's a story that I'm like, you know, if you want to watch a boxing movie, it wouldn't be this one. I don't think.
Yeah, it's a one and done.
One and done. Here's one I haven't seen since it came out theatrically. Social Network. Mm-hmm. Does this still hold up? Is this still?
So I've watched it a couple times. It probably came out at the right time because then it kind of before we started to hate Mark Zuckerberg, you know.
Yeah, it did.
So
right.
now we're like, oh, because you know Jesse kind of plays him like an asshole, but which he is. But now you're just like, I don't like he is, and you know, but
yeah, he's a robot.
Yeah, it has such a great supporting cast that it kind of makes it kind of worth it and so forth. So usually you can't go wrong with any David Fincher film.
Right.
And plus I always like seeing Joey Mazzello from Jurassic Park in adult roles.
Was he in that? Was he?
Yep. Yeah. He plays one of the friends and he's also, remember he was also in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
So he's one of those, like once you know it's him, then you see little, what was his character's name in Jurassic Park?
Him.
Timmy. Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody and the Pacific. I'm like, I just want him to go, whichever car you're going into.
So he has, you know, he got a decent performance out of Justin Timberlake too. So there you go.
Yeah, he did. He played the Napster founder in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Robert, what do you call a blind dinosaur? Do you think he saw us? That's good, Tim. What do you call a blind dinosaur? And finally, hey, here's an unpopular opinion for you, but I've never seen Good Will Hunting.
I saw it once.
Is it a good movie to hunt down and watch?
Let me see. I'm looking at my own scoring movie. It's a movie.
Oh, that's burn. Snap. It's a movie. So that is a one star.
So obviously it kind of launched... Ben Affleck and Matt Damon into the stratosphere. Even though they've been working actors and so forth. So good for that. I just have issues with two kind of on the nose special movies that are too calculated.
Because they insist upon themselves.
Yeah, and I just like I don't, you know.
I feel like a movie like Good Will Hunting, well, that's a bad example because I haven't seen it, but a lot of those movies that gain so much hype, they do exactly what you said. They kind of insist on it, and you're like, I get it. I get the story. I get, like, it's groundbreaking, but is it really that great? Yeah. Usually it's not.
No. And then when everybody falls in love with it, I'm like, I don't know, but...
it's no Clown House.
No. So, and I was kind of looking ahead. I'm like, what Boston movie's coming up next? And so I know Matt Damon and Casey Affleck are doing one called The Instigators. I don't know what it's about. So
what is The Instigators?
I do not know, but I'm sure it'll be pronounced The Instigators.
The Instigators. You're one of those health nuts, right? Go fuck yourself. What? You don't smoke the, you smoke about, go fuck yourself. I do love in The Departed, Alec Baldwin's character better than anyone, where he's just world needs plenty of bartenders, you know. So, well, he's almost like a character.
Yeah, and that, I guess that is, I mean, it's, I forget that he's in there too sometimes, because I forget what a big cast they have, and everybody's on their A game in that movie too. So
they are on their A game.
Martin Sheen,
no joke.
Yeah.
So that's Great Movies of Boston. I didn't know. I had that itch for a while. I wanted to scratch that and see where we were. Okay. I'm looking at what you've been watching. And, you know, I'm just going to skip all of mine because I think I've talked about them before.
I don't think you have. Did you talk about Judy Blume Forever?
I was going to mention that one.
Okay. Okay.
Because you recommended Judy Blume Forever. And I thought it was fantastic.
Yes.
I think she's more... I didn't realize Judy Blume was that groundbreaking in what she did, because she was groundbreaking.
Yeah, so she was, it was around my age where she was, and I do remember it felt like the books were mostly geared towards girls, even though they're not really, whatever. So I don't remember. So I remember all the girls had read them whenever a new one came out and so forth. And I do remember some controversy, but I was kind of, I didn't quite get what the controversy was until she talked about it. But now I'm just like, I have so much more respect for her than I ever thought I had, you know, and she's still going. Yeah. I mean, not necessarily
she's still
writing,
going at 85 or whatever.
Yeah. So it's like, good for her. But I thought the documentary's great. She's really kind of forthcoming and honest, and I loved it.
Yeah. And it also talked about, which I didn't realize. I mean, I know she talked about sex and things like that, that at the time were considered, you know, racy, and you shouldn't really include that, but she
are considered racy again in 2023 that
right, and are racy again. But as opposed to backing down, she plowed ahead even more.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, she didn't mess around. She wasn't bowing to her critics. She was like, you know what? I'm going to write an adult novel now. And she did the book Wifey. And then she wrote ones, I mean, Suicide. And thank God for her, you know?
Oh, yeah.
People needed that.
She doubled down on it. And so I'm like, good for her. And I feel like I want to go visit her now that at her bookstore.
Yeah, where is she? She's like in Mexico or something like that?
Somewhere, Florida. I can't remember. But,
maybe it was Florida. Yeah. But she, Judy Blume Forever was great. And I rewatched Rocky Balboa and A League of Their Own.
Which Rocky is that? Is that Rocky?
The bad one. The sixth one.
The seven, six or something?
I can't remember
what happens in that one.
Same as 1 through 5. He fights and then...
Is he retired? Is he too old for this shit? And then...
You know what's funny about Rocky, though, is he was too old in the first one. That was the gimmick. He was like 33, and they were his whole thing. They were like, you're too washed up to make it. And he's like, give me a chance. So for him to be doing that 40 years later, I mean, it's amazing. But talk about really dragging out a franchise.
So speaking of kind of legacy sequels, I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger said he finally will never do another Terminator film.
Oh, did he come out and say that?
But then he kind of trashed the last one, Dark Fate, which I think that's kind of a no-no. You know, you just as a this holiday, you know, you're no rising star anymore either, Arnold. So
why would you do that?
I don't know. He said it was like bad writing or whatever. I'm like, those people are at least trying, you know, and it just seems like. No matter how you feel about it, you just don't, don't diss writers during a writer's strike on top of it.
Exactly.
Expendables 3, you know, like.
it always irks me when actors and directors do that. They pass the blame game. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless it's like the studio really did cut like the budget in half, like I get it. But a lot of the time they're like, you know, the writing was bad. It's like, well, you were there too. And you signed off on this. And
that's not what you said during the press junket.
Right. Exactly. And it's always somebody else's fault. I appreciate when people take ownership and they're like, that was all me. You know, we tried something and it didn't work. What are you going to do? What have you been watching here? You got some good ones.
I've done a smattering here and there. So for some reason, I took a rewatch to Batman Forever. Either kind of showed up on a recommended or something like that. I was like, so 95 was 95 had some of my favorite movies, and it was kind of an important kind of spring summer for me to have some light in my life. And so I think about that and Tank Girl and stuff like that. And especially, obviously, the soundtrack for Batman Forever is probably better than the film itself.
Oh, but, gosh. It's a powerhouse.
Yes. So some of it does not live up to scrutiny kind of over the years. But it was fun at the time. So
yeah, it was a fun ride. And that the soundtrack with U2 and Seal and everything was, I mean, it's still one of the best soundtracks
absolutely
ever.
So. And it hadn't gotten too crazy yet. But So.
It was no Batman and Robin. I mean, that was another level. Oof.
I remember I liked Batman Forever enough that when I was like, oh, I can't wait to see Batman and Robin. You know, it's the same director, same. I was like,
oof. Batman, I always mix the two up though. Batman and Robin was Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze with Arnold.
And then Batman and Robin also had Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face.
Yes.
And then Batman Forever was the Riddler and.
Batman Forever's the Riddler and Two-Face, yes.
Two-Face, okay, that's right.
Yeah, and George Clooney was not a good Batman, but
nipples
and Alicia Silverstone. So it was a big mess. But
oh yeah, Poison Ivy. Anyway,
so the Superman 4K set came.
Yes.
So I went through most of those films, one to kind of see what they look like, and kind of mostly kind of listen to the commentary instead of watching them kind of verbatim. So I think they looked pretty good. Some kind of looked not quite, like there was a couple of shots. I'm like, I think that doesn't look too hot, you know, but so I was most excited to see Superman 4 in 4K. Yes.
Something wonderful.
It's only money.
which look in 4K with the fight scenes.
It suffers more because everything is crystal clear. How bad the matte lines are and the effects.
Oh,
and I do wish, I mean, they would never do this, but you know, there's fans online that have fixed scenes to, you know, so Lacey isn't in outer space, you know, she's up in the clouds, you know, because she's like, I don't know how many tens of thousands of miles from the planet Earth, you know, with no breathing, whatever. Like, and then he drops her and she's like, well, she's in space. I don't know. But
right. What's happening?
So there's fans that kind of fix things and try to make the effects better and so forth, which is good.
Yeah.
Some were pretty good. I mean, one, they make it look like a New York subway instead of Quebec.
Oh, really?
Round.
Wait, so they like green screen it kind of thing?
Yeah, they take their time and they make it authentic. And so they do an awesome job. So
is this on YouTube?
So if you go down the rabbit hole sometime, and they do a fantastic job. So. Now, I can't imagine Warner's would ever sanction that. But so I was excited to get that and even take a look at Superman 3 as well to kind of see how it looked. It was good.
Cool. That's exciting you got that.
Jury Duty. It's on Amazon Prime or Freevee. It's a kind of a reality show. Have you seen that?
No, that? I haven't. How is it?
So it's a... it's all actors except for one guy, and he got called to jury duty, I think down in Huntington Park or something like that. So, and so everybody's in on it except for this guy. And so kind of crazy stuff happens. And so it's kind of a fun watch, probably something to kind of fold laundry by. And I got a couple chuckles out of it. Yeah. So I think there's like 8 episodes. Yeah.
What is it streaming on?
I think Amazon Prime. Or Freevee, or I think Freevee is part of Amazon Prime. So it's
That is cool.
Yeah. And it's I was curious because I watched some of the behind the last episode is like after he's let in on the joke and they're kind of talking about it. But I was kind of curious how I don't think they talked too much about how they cast him or how they knew, because it rides on whether he's good, a good person or not. Because otherwise, it, you know, if he's kind of a dud, but you know, the show kind of fails no matter what things.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure going on there.
And James, is that James Marsden? Yeah, he plays himself, kind of a jackass version of himself.
Oh, cool.
So, and the reason they get sequestered is because he calls in the paparazzi because he's trying to get out of jury duty, and he causes such a commotion that they say, well, now we all have to stay in hotels because rather than go home because of James Marsden and the paparazzi, you know, and stuff like that. So,
okay, right, right.
But
jury duty, I gotta check this out. It's on Freevee.
Yep. So, and there's just every once, and there's an older lady that she keeps falling asleep during duty, and he's trying to nudge her awake. But he is such a genuinely nice guy that it kind of makes it worth it. So it's a good
that's
show.
So cool.
Yeah,
good call.
Miracle Mile, which I just did a rewatch because yesterday was the anniversary, and I was like,
is this the Anthony Edwards movie?
It is. Anthony Edwards, cool. Mary Winningham, which they have since got married, I think, just like last year or something like that. So
you've done a great job on this page, too. I've been to that page on your site before.
Thank you. So, yeah. So, actually, I just updated it today, a day late, because I was like.
You really?
Yeah, because I was like, I had the DVD version before, and I had not done it with a Blu-ray screenshot, so I had to quickly do it. So, but which is nice. The director made some comments today on the Facebook about it, that he was shocked I was able to find one of the scenes. He's supposed to be staying, Anthony Edwards is supposed to be staying at the Chateau Marmont. And,
right.
But the smoking scene is shot completely somewhere else, and I found it.
Oh, that is so cool.
I had a little bit of help, but yeah. So, but it's this guy only. Have you seen The Miracle Mile? I know.
Yeah,
we've talked
yeah.
About
it's a good.
It,
it's
yeah.
a good movie. It's yeah. a good actor's movie, and it's I love the locations.
Oh
it's
yeah,
a true LA movie.
And there's a lot, like 80% of these locations are no longer there. So like the tar pits are still there. Thankfully, they moved a couple of the elephants around. The Santa Monica Pier merry-go-round is still there. But like that block of Wilshire, a lot of it's just gone because they're getting ready for
the museum.
Well, not the museum. What do you call the your train? Yeah, subway.
Yeah, the metro.
Metro is going underneath that. So, but at the time, you know, that was the May Company across the street. Now it's the Academy Museum. The gym that you just passed by is no longer there. That's all torn down.
Oh.
So there's a lot just completely gone now. So I'm glad I got the pictures when I did. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's immortalized. It's a pretty extensive page too, which is cool.
Yeah, I don't mess around with the good movies.
It's not playing. Mrs. Doubtfire will mess around with. Well, Miracle Mile, he is not.
No. Oh, I can't even do a Mrs. Doubtfire.
It's tough. It's tough. It's tough.
The Fablemans.
Yeah, how was that? How was The Fablemans?
Mm.
No, it's not good.
Mm. I don't. Bad. It's hard for me to call it even a movie.
Really? Is that bad? Give up and make like a passion project and not give a shit or something?
It might be a perfect DVD coaster.
Really? Wow. Yeah. What is so bad about it? Like what?
It's a little schmaltzy. It's a little Michelle Williams is there's a lot of acting going on. You know,
yeah, right.
You're
not having it.
I'm not having it. It's like, you know, tone it down a little bit. Judd Hirsch, was he nominated for this movie? I think.
Was.
I think he's only in two scenes, and he you can tell actors are like, he's like, this is going to be my award. You know, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm going to get nominated for that. I was like, I'm not buying that either. So
it hurts.
Yeah, and it's just like it's kind of incoherent, and yeah, I don't know,
not good.
I did not like it.
How long is? I mean, does it feel like a really long movie?
It's over 2 hours, probably 2:10 or something, 2 hours and 10 or something like that. But and I did it in a couple settings. But
has Steven Spielberg peaked? I mean, is he ever going to make movies like he used to again?
No, but like I don't know what his last good one was.
What I'm saying. I mean, he redid West Side Story.
And that,
what was his last like big movie that he directed that people saw in throngs?
Well, now I have to look because I'm like, I don't know. Fableman's
I'm just wondering. I mean, the guy could have retired in the 90s and still been a legend. He's done his bit, but I'm just wondering if he's done.
Ready Player One was a big movie. It wasn't successful. Lincoln was probably a... You liked Lincoln, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I forgot he did War Horse.
Nor Horse.
And then Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Munich. I actually kind of liked Munich.
Munich was good.
Yeah, and that's like, what, 18 years ago now.
it's a long time.
Yeah, Minority Report was good. So he's had now good, yeah. more... Yeah, his heyday is over, unfortunately, but...
Yeah. Can't duplicate the magic again.
No. So, Party Girl just came out on Blu-ray, a special Blu-ray. So I was excited to see that and super jealous. I had friends in New York that went to the Blu-ray release party and Parker Posey was there. And I'm like, damn it.
Oh, really? In New York?
Yes. Oh. So we've talked about Party Girl. So it just came out and I love, they have a special cover.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, I love how thick it is.
Oh, yeah. So it is awesome cover.
How does it open up?
So this is just the case.
Oh, got it.
I mean, the thing. But and I know we talked about it before, because I think this was the first movie to be streamed on the internet or downloaded, you know, back
that's
in
pretty cool.
95 or whatever it was. But so this is kind of an upgraded version, because the previous versions were kind of not that good looking. But yeah, so
it's a big upgrade then.
Yep. Still say hello. I still say lines from this movie. So
which lines do you say?
Hey, hello. I don't know.
It's the measure of a good movie is how often you quote it.
And that's actually my measuring stick. We do say the same thing to Murphy. I do. Because in the movie she needs to learn the Dewey Decimal System, and her aunt is like, a trained monkey learned it on PBS in 3 hours. And so anytime Murphy doesn't understand something, or is like, a trained monkey learned this on PBS in 3 hours.
And then if you keep prodding me, he goes, leave us alone. Yeah.
So she, more or less, she needs money. So she ends up working at a library where her aunt is the librarian. And my first job in high school, my only job through high school was at the library. So
it's a cool job to have in high school.
Plus it's Parker Posey. It's New York.
Yeah. It's a good time. I like everything about that.
Yeah. And then I watched The 12th Victim, which is a 3 or 4 part documentary series on Showtime, I think it is.
Oh, okay. What's that one about?
So if you're not familiar with, so there's a Nebraska tie here. So Charlie Starkweather, and then Carol Ann Fugate was his girlfriend. She was like only 14 at the time. And so she was kind of a possible accomplice. They treated her as an accomplice. And so they also sent her to, he was on death row, but she was sent to the women's prison here in Nebraska and so forth. But part of it was like, she was young enough that, was she really accomplice or was she kind of brainwashed I don't want to give too much away. Because I encourage people to kind of check it out and look at that documentary, but...
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
Cool that you got into it.
So there's a thing near the end where she finally got out of prison and tried to kind of restart her life, but they're trying to kind of rectify the wrongs and to kind of not nullify, but, you know, correct the what happened or whatever. And it had to go through our governor. And so there's this nasty shot of Governor Pete Ricketts at the time going, no, you can't do, you know, he's like literally shaking his pen at whatever. And like,
he's like admonishing you like a school teacher.
Yeah. And I'm just like,
how does that piss you off?
Yeah. I was already like, but anyway, yeah. So it's 4 episode documentary. So I would on Showtime. So I think it's, if you're not familiar with it, kind of worth checking out. So
worth checking out. 12th Victim. Vote for the opposite of Ricketts after you see that movie is what you walk.
Well, we might have got something worse, so I don't know.
The devil, you don't know. Yeah, he's often worse.
He is no longer governor now. We have another.
We have somebody else.
Yeah, so he was the one. I think he was cocking a shotgun on the commercials.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very necessary.
Anyway, so yeah, that's what I've been watching.
I like it. That's a good list. What you've been watching? There we go. Check out Robert's suggestions there. I really do like the Superman 4K set. And you got something this week that was The Shining related. I wanted to ask.
Oh, yes. So yeah. I spent way too much on.
Is there such a thing as way too much when it's something that great?
Well, I saw people were getting this, and it's this. It's much bigger than I thought, because it's probably like, oh, it's like 16 inches by 20 inches or something. This huge box.
Yeah.
And it's like over 40 pounds when it came. I'm like, what is this it? And it's like multiple books and books in this box. So anyway, it's Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, multi-volume set of the making of the film. And like one of the
so
books
cool.
is, one is a the scrapbook that is in the movie that barely makes too much screen time, but it's kind of replicated for that, but it has hundreds and hundreds of photos behind the scenes, deleted scenes that have never been seen before. And then there's another book that's, I think, almost 1,000 pages as well about the making, and more photos. And then one book that's just on the different sketches for the set designs, and another book for all the sketches for the posters. And then they replicated about 30 pages of reproduced the pages for All Work and No Play Makes Jack, you know, that she's thumbing through.
Yeah, I saw that in the shot you sent. It was cool.
Yeah, they so really, it's this like, huge, like literally, I think it will take me a year to even get through all this. So,
what was the deleted scenes? Did you get to see any yet? Were they like,
oh, so
scary it,
you, only, you only see pictures, because I think Stanley,
right?
If we do look through, you can, because we know the movie well enough for like, like, oh, this isn't here. So the key one is the ending. So because the ending's pretty notorious, that I think the first week of the film, it had an ending that he decided he didn't want, and so they just cut it out. And so it's more or less Wendy and Danny at the hospital, and then so she's kind of recovering, and I can't remember who the hotel manager's guy. He comes to visit her at her hospital bed, and then he throws Danny a yellow tennis ball, and then it's Danny holding the yellow tennis ball. And so there's really a lot of fantastic shots. I think I might have included on one of the pictures I seen you where Wendy's at her hospital bed, but
you did yeah.
So that's the big one of the biggest deleted
that is
scenes,
cool.
But there's tons and tons of stuff, and oh they have the whole script as well with all the notes. I can't remember whose script it is, so yeah, it is
really.
I told myself, I was like, should I have like, and she goes, no, it looks like it was worth it. I mean, for this,
it moment, sounds like it's worth
it's
it.
It's a one, I mean, of a kind. So
why do they do that? Was it, did it just come out this year, or do you just get it?
And okay. they're only making 1,000 copies. So
what was the reason for doing it this year? Just to do it kind of thing?
I don't know actually why.
There wasn't any symbolism of like, it's the 30th anniversary, because it's not the 30th anniversary.
No, it's 1980, so however long that is. But yeah, so anyway.
Yeah, it's 42,
it is.
43.
It's expensive enough that I actually bought white gloves too.
Hey, it's good to be protective.
Look at it, because
yeah,
my greasy head and fingers that I was like, oh, I'm not messing
preaching
around
to the choir.
One. Yeah, so.
If you saw the OCD rituals I did with certain things, it would Howard Hughes' team.
So. Oh, yeah. So I got the white gloves out for this, but
you have to.
Yeah,
that is so cool, though. It looks awesome.
Yeah, so I will. It's probably a good winter thing, you know, when you're kind of at home and digging through that. So
plus, when you get nostalgic around like Halloween and you bring that out, like how cool is that?
So,
cool. Oh, I gotta ask you. I skipped over this.
The Miracle Mile director just messaged me that he wants to post all my photos on his website. So.
Oh. Tell that him denied means, unless you paid a
where's my
fee.
Money? No,
it's only money.
Oh, Lacey, it's only money. For those that don't know, that's a great line from Superman 4.
It's worth it. It's really worth it. That's cool. Who's the director of Miracle Mile?
Is it Steve Desjarnat?
The Indiana Jones at Cannes. What was this?
So
I saw Harrison Ford said he's retiring the character, and I'm like, no shit.
So
you're 80.
It had its premiere at Cannes 2 days ago or something like that. Technically, all reviews are embargoed, but of course, stuff is leaking out on if it's good or bad, and it's mediocre to bad, according to early reviews. Unsurprising, but people were kind of hoping for like a Hail Mary, like, well, maybe it's got to be better than the Crystal Skull.
But I would imagine it's better than Crystal Skull. But really, what can he do at this age and time that would make it better? I mean, seriously, like the reason Raiders of the Lost Ark is so good is it's never been done before. It's special effects. The soundtrack was new. You had Spielberg behind the camera. It was an exciting romantic adventure. We've seen that 3 or 4 times. I mean, you can only redo the same thing over and over again. And 40 years later, you're not going to get the same punch. So I'm hoping it's a good movie and it's enjoyable, but I don't know what the hell they think they can do with that franchise at this point.
See it. You know, I'll probably still go see it, but
I'll definitely see it. And I'm a fan of Harrison Ford and Indiana Jones. I wish it were more like James Bond, where they could switch it up every decades and do that. But
there's rumors that might be part of the problem. But anyway.
Oh yeah, they're gonna bring in that chick.
Well, we'll see. But yeah. So keep it like that. People are concerned because it seemed there's a pretty big gap between when they premiered it and when it actually comes out. So kind of a strange choice to show it so early.
Interesting.
But
very, very curious now. Are you in Indiana Jones, the movie, Robert?
Raiders of the Lost Ark, for sure. Yeah.
Raiders
and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And then Last Crusade was good. And then I remember with friends to see the Crystal Skull, and they came out of the thing. I was seething in the theater, like how awful this was. And my friends at the time were kind of the apology. What do you call those?
Apologists?
Yeah, where they're like, well, they did their bet. And like, it was quick. Stop pretending to make this right.
That was bad.
Yeah.
That was an experience seeing that theatrically. I remember I was very quiet after that. Just thinking, like, my whole thing at that time was, why did this take so long to be released? Like, I was naive, and I'm thinking, well, it's been 15, 16 years since the last one. This better be fantastic. And I'm like, really? That's what you came up with?
It had bad cinematography. Like, nothing was right.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Not a good one. Is Harrison Ford still grizzly and salty in interviews, or is he is he chilled out?
He's probably chilled out. I mean, I've not watched him like that. I forget. It's funny because you see they go backwards in time some interviews, because remember he had the kind of a Caesar cut with the earring era.
Oh, I remember the earring. Yeah, he always made it. He always came off like he didn't want to be there.
Yeah,
you know, he did a lot of late night appearances, and they'd be like, "So, Harrison, what's your experience with getting ready for a movie?" He'd be like,
got the paycheck, and then I showed up.
I showed up, and they were like struggling to work with him to make the interview work. I mean, and you're like, why is he even there?
Yeah, didn't need to be.
On Solo, he doesn't need to do that. And finally, we're going to get into revisiting the Razzies year by year. This week is the 6th Golden Raspberry Awards, which was held on March 23rd.
That's Robert's birthday. I turned 16 that day.
Were you 16 that day?
Yeah.
Happy birthday. What were you doing in nine? What did you see on your birthday weekend?
On that day, I was just, I don't know.
I know what 1985 highest grossing film was. It was going to be. I don't know what it is. Back to the Future. So were you a Back to the Future kid in 1985?
Yeah, I was 15. So
perfect.
I went to Universal Studios that a month before it came out. So I got to kind of remember that they were really kind of promoting that and so forth. And we got to see, you know, the square or whatever. So I think for my birthday, I went to see Pretty in Pink.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
March of 86, if I remember correctly. So it just came out.
Cool. Pretty in Pink it did very well theatrically, right?
I'm sure it did. Yeah, this was still at the height of kind of, John Huston directed, he wrote it, I think, or something like that. But Molly Ringwald, and
this was
great soundtrack with Blaine.
I do love I'm just talking about Pretty in Pink, and that is a good movie. It really, it's fun. Yeah.
I still
it's on
it.
A lot.
Yeah, applause, applause, applause.
It is good. It is good. But the Razzies, these are bad movies. These are bad, bad, bad. We're gonna kick it off with worst original song. What are do you know any of these?
I do not. So if we're gonna start with that, are we gonna start with the winner, or are we just gonna we'll just go through the nominees real quick. Seventh Heaven from Last Dragon. I have no idea. Oh Jimmy from The Slugger's Wife. The Last Dragon from The Last Dragon. All You Can Eat from Crush Groove. What is that? Is that a skater movie? I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And then the winner was Peace in Our Life from Rambo, First Blood Part 2.
It's by Frank Stallone.
Ooh. Oh, that's right. You know, I forgot that was kind of a nepotism.
Yeah, that's bad.
Frank would show up sometimes, but
he was in Rocky too. He was the guy singing in the beginning.
So yeah, I remember when my friend really was into Rambo when that came out, and I didn't
really
get it. Yeah, that was like not my type of film even back then. But
I remember the cartoon. I had a little Rambo knife, like the fake plastic. That was a real toy in the 80s.
Really?
It was like the Rambo
knife.
Of
course.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Toys R Us. And I'd go out after watching Rambo the cartoon with my Rambo knife and would like and run through the woods people. And stuff. Yeah. What a weird toy for a kid.
It is. Yeah, probably. I'm sure they don't do that anymore. I don't know.
No. But yeah, congratulations, Rambo, First Blood Part 2, which is so sad because First Blood is a great film itself. Mm-hmm. It's very like deep, and then they took it in two movies to him helping the Taliban and like with an oiled chest, like with three machine guns in Afghanistan. And I'm like, oh, it's just so they just made it so Hollywood, so 80s, so bad, so quick.
Got ludicrous quickly.
Yeah, got very ludicrous. Do you want to read these or do you want me to?
Worst musical score. So some of the nominees: Turk 182, Revolution.
Okay.
King Solomon's Mines. I do remember seeing that. So we were getting Raiders of the Lost Ark ripoffs.
Gosh, Robert, you really aren't joking about Raiders of the Lost Ark ripoff. I just.
Oh, did you
it's
just.
On the link. It's copyright infringement.
It looks exactly. I think he's wearing the hat and everything. Does he have a bullwhip too? I can't remember. So
how does one even?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It was. Yeah.
Did you see this?
No, I think I did, and they made a couple of them. Sharon Stone was in it, so this was a canon movie. So, and everybody hated Sharon Stone on the film, according to urban legend. And she has a bathtub scene once, and apparently all the crew members took turns peeing in the bathtub before she got in. So it's how much she was disliked. But
was it a parody movie or was it?
No, it was serious. It was serious. And I think she was in the sequel too, but I think the sequel is even worse, but.
Because even the font and the color scheme I mean, I think maybe it was be a knockoff, but it's a real.
Canon had no
shame in that game.
No. So.
Wow.
Fever Pitch, which I'm also not familiar with, but the winner was Rocky IV.
Rightfully so. That is a bad soundtrack.
Is this the Dolph Lundgren one, right?
Well, see, there's the original music that's famous for wasn't in Rocky IV. They took it out. And they put in, 80s workout montage music. Hearts on fire. And, I don't know why you had something winning.
I wonder if, because I know they re-edited it and took out some scenes and added some stuff last year. But
yeah,
I wonder if they put in the proper soundtrack. I don't know.
I think they did something at the end with that. I don't remember. Yeah. But yeah. Congratulations, Vince DiCola.
Congrats. Yeah, I'm sure his ears are burning right now. So
looks like he did the Staying Alive score as well as the Transformers movie in the 80s. So he's doing some work.
Worst screenplay. We got Year of the Dragon, Rocky IV, Fever Pitch, Perfect, which is one of my guilty pleasures, Jamie Lee Curtis and John Travolta. Are you familiar with Perfect? I think we've talked about it before.
Yeah, we did. I think so. I don't remember it though.
She's an aerobicizer, and he works for Rolling Stone. He's doing an article on,
Oh, right. You're a fan of this.
It's not
Yeah.
good. I remember I
But
didn't see it in the theater, but I do remember seeing it on cable because I was a Jamie Lee Curtis fan. Wanted to see what they're doing, and John Travolta.
course. Yeah. Yeah,
But
if you're gonna be a fan, you're a fan. You're a good dude with that.
Winner though was Rambo First Blood Part Two for best screenplay.
Congratulations,
Congratulations,
Rambo.
Sylvester Stallone and James Cameron.
Yes, he was doing a lot of work that year. Sly, starring in these two movies.
In between Terminator and I think it was James Cameron, in between Terminator and Aliens,
Yeah, he
had a
wrote.
little Rambo.
Yeah, I do remember reading something about this. He just kind of the process. I think they wanted him to do the movie too, but he did. He was working on Aliens or something
Alien
like that.
stuff. Who?
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, I'd be curious what his version of Rambo would be. Well, maybe that was that we saw it. I don't
Could be. Could be.
know. Worst new star, which is always I feel like the Oscars should have this. I want just one of the like worst new star. So,
First new star.
Kurt Thomas and Jim Cotta. Now I don't know who Kurt Thomas is, but I do remember Jim Cotta. Have you
Jim
heard of
Cotta, it
this?
sounds like,
It's exactly what you think it is.
yeah, fighting in a gym, but it's a gym style.
It's kind of it was like a I can't remember who was.
Gymnastics fighting kind of thing.
Yeah, and I can't remember who the Olympic person was. It might have been Kurt Thomas, but I felt like there was somebody else that was
It's
also in it. But
Kurt Thomas.
is it okay?
Yeah, according to
I
their
felt like there was
page.
somebody else, but anyway,
Oh.
Julia Nicholson's Soul and Rambo. Don't know. The new computerized Godzilla and Godzilla 1985.
Yes.
How I'll be curious if Godzilla was it 1997? Because
Yeah.
I'm sure it also won or was nominated. But
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think that was a banner year for
yeah,
them.
that's another thing. Why do they keep trying to do it? It's never gonna
I know. Yeah, stop with
happen.
Godzilla already. We don't want it anymore.
Ariane for Year of the Dragon,
Okay.
but the winner. And this is a trifecta winner, it looks like, for three films is Brigitte Nielsen for Red Sonja. Is it Red Sonja? Rocky Four.
Yeah, I think
Oh,
so.
it's just a double. I'm sorry. Rocky Four and Red Sonja.
The double whammy there.
Double whammy. So
She
this
was
was,
married to Sly at the time, right?
yeah, I think she, I'm trying to think now. I can't remember.
We're connected at some point.
She was, because she was she married to Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah.
And then I think she got married to Sly Stallone, only for like a year and a half, because then they did Cobra, and then I think they divorced. So something like that. But
Yeah, I forget. I don't know the history, but yeah,
yeah, does
she's
that
been
seem
around.
right? I don't. Maybe she wasn't married to Dolph. I don't
She
know.
wasn't
But
married to
anyway,
Dolph. She was married to
no.
him in Rocky IV,
Okay.
but it looks like she married Sly in 85 and they
Okay.
divorced in 87. So they didn't give it a good shot.
Yeah, they did their shot for one film, and
She was in Cobra, right?
yeah. So
Yeah.
she wasn't too good in Cobra, but the film itself is it's a decent '80s
Yeah, I
movie.
just rewatched it recently. It's
Yeah.
fun.
Worst actor, John Travolta in Perfect,
Perfect.
Al Pacino in Revolution. Just wait till they see him in Jack and Jill.
Revolution was a very weird the movie that did not work though. I mean, he was horribly type miscast in that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what he was thinking doing a role like that.
I
He's a
just remember.
phenomenal actor. I don't know. That movie did not work.
Just remember the poster was just him. It was all about, like it gave no indication of what the film was actually about
Yeah,
except
it's
his
like the
face.
movie The Patriots, like him with an
Yeah.
American flag. You're like, is it Born on the
Well,
4th of July? What is it?
could be anything. So,
Yeah, I
Richard Gere.
do. I
Oh,
got a
go ahead.
crowbar this in. I'm sorry. I do love posters, and they don't do this anymore where it's just the person's face carrying the movie, and in like the corner, there's a small thing about the movie. You know, they did it for like every movie in the 80s and 90s where it's just like The Patriot and it's just Mel Gibson's mug. And then
Yeah.
there's like an American flag battle on a horse thing going on. And you're like, okay,
I
I
felt
get
like,
it.
especially Mel Gibson, It was the same. Like it was the almost the same picture. That it was just a different title.
It was like the same thing. Tom Cruise did it a lot. Yeah. You don't see it so much, but
no. Well, it's harder for like they want to put all their buck. There's no star now that everything rides. You know that.
No.
That's it used to be. You know that either one of them or Harrison Ford. It was a guaranteed opening, big opening weekend. No matter
oh yeah,
what. Yeah.
The last that's one great. I've seen like that I can remember is Ad Astra with Brad Pitt, and that didn't do well. No. But they did try to bring it back. But yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. My apologies.
No. So. Richard Gere and King David as David, Divine and Lust in the Lust in the Dust. I don't even know that. I'm not familiar with that one. I know Divine, obviously, but
in the dust.
Worst actor, and this is another double, Sylvester Stallone for Rambo and Rocky IV. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Sly. They you did a lot of doubles in this. Was that like a new thing?
I don't know, or maybe it's like, you know, if you're going to give us two duds,
you're going to get awarded twice.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. That's what you get, especially, it's better if you have one Oscar win and one Razzie win in the same year. That is a little more meaningful than
two duds. If you're going to do that. Yeah.
But both films, they made money, so who knows? But
yeah, right.
Worst actress, we have Ariane again for Year of the Dragon. Jennifer Beals and The Bride. I forgot about The Bride with Sting. I was going to call him The Sting.
Sting, but there is a The Sting.
Yeah. You're correct. There is a The Sting. But The Bride, I don't remember that being a very good film. I think I just watched it once.
Does Sting sing the soundtrack in it?
I don't even know. He kind of felt, I don't, it was like he was kind of, I think he was forced into you know, where they're trying to make an actor out of a musician and just never really works very well.
Never works. And you never know what he sings in a song. It's like, because then the sepulchre sighs on the fields of gold, because I'm hard to see. And you're like, okay.
All right. We gotcha.
You know whose songs you can understand?
Who?
Madonna's.
Well,
because she knows how to sing, Robert.
She knows how to auto-tune. She knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's doing.
Brigitte Nielsen again for Red Sonja. Tanya Roberts in A View to a Kill. I loved A View to a Kill. Granted, she was not the best Bond girl.
But she's still a Bond girl and she, a fun movie.
Yeah, so, and it really, Grace Jones should have been made her more of the Bond girl.
Yes.
Because she was electric on screen for sure, so.
Sing Do or Die in that movie, or is that... I mean, that's before that movie, but I'm trying to think, because that always thought sounded like it could be a Bond song.
No.
All right.
The winner is Linda Blair, double winner for two movies, Night Patrol, Savage Island, and Savage Streets.
Ooh. Is Savage Island and Savage Streets related?
They are not. I'm not familiar with Savage Island. I'm certainly familiar with Savage Streets because it's...
We've talked about that.
Yeah, it's a yucky, dirty film. I think that director also directed the yucky, dirty Friday 13th Part 5, A New Beginning. So it kind of still has that grimy feel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a good...
Gross.
Yeah. So I did locations for that. So, but it's a good... I owned it on Blu-ray, I'll tell you that.
Okay. Well, if you're on Blu-ray, there's hope.
Yeah. Worst supporting actor, Burt Young in Rocky IV. That's kind of sad.
Yeah. That's also, it's implied that he had sex with the robot in Rocky IV.
Oh,
I mean, that's like implied where the robot comes out. It's like, great job, Paulie. Great. And Rocky's like, you did. He's like laughing. Logistically, that's just messed up, man.
So is that why they took out the robot and the director or the special cut? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty
bad. Robert Ulrich in Turk 182, Herbert Lom in King Solomon's Mines, Burr in Godzilla 1985. It's funny that they're still at, you know, it used to be kind of a thing, you know, Airport 77 and Airport 70, you know, you add the year to it. And now that seems kind of like, wow, can you date a movie even?
I know. I know. It reminds me of those the series with, you know, like the Angels Fallen series, like, you know, London is Falling, White House. They do like 10 of those a year. And you're like, I don't know what's what anymore.
What fell now?
Why is everything falling?
The winner for worst supporting actor was Rob Lowe and St. Elmo's Fire.
St. Elmo's Fire. I've only seen that movie once.
Oh, it was a Brat Pack movie. I saw it more than I should have.
I saw it once and it was recent. It was like 10 years ago. Is it still pretty good?
It was kind of not. It was kind of like anytime there's a change in season, the soundtrack would pipe up and whatever. I guess I still say lines from it. Ally Sheedy and Demi Moore talking about Judd Nelson is they're kind of whispering like, I always knew he was a Republican. I don't know why we say stuff like that. But
hey, that's good though.
The St. Elmo's bar is actually right across the street from the Exorcist house in real life. Not the movie version, but the real the bar that it's based on is supposedly right across the street. So, which I think I took some pictures of, and actually I think I took pictures of the movie bar too. But
oh, cool.
But I like Rob Lowe, and I've told you my story about talking to him at a Madonna concert.
Yeah, that is an awesome story, by the way.
And he was super nice. Pretty cool. So, worst supporting actress, Talia Shire for Rocky IV.
Mm. Yeah, the mighty have fallen. That wasn't her last Rocky. She did 5, and then she was.
Did she 5? Okay, didn't they kill her off? I think or something. Or
yeah, she died.
Or in between or something.
Yeah, after 5, they wrote her out.
Julia Nixon Soul and Rambo. Sandahl Bergman and Red Sonja, and then Mary Lou Henner for 2 different movies, Perfect and Wrestler's Rhapsody.
Just that name, Wrestler's Rhapsody.
I do. That is a horribly unfunny movie. One of the most unfunny comedies of all time, I remember.
You've seen it, Robert?
I did. Back then. Wow. Not in decades, but it is not worth your...
It's not even funny intentionally?
Not even, no. Yeah. Oof.
Really?
But the winner is Brigitte Nielsen for Rocky IV.
Congratulations.
That didn't stop her. She'd be in Beverly Hills Cop 2 soon enough.
She's still going to plug away. This is not going to bring her down. Yeah. By the way, Rustler's Rhapsody has Tom Berenger with a cowboy hat. There's like a stampede on the cover. Like, what is going on?
I just remember it was, you know, when it showed up on HBO.
Yeah,
and it was just like it would better be staring at the wall than keep that on the TV.
It's amazing, so cool. I'm sorry. Okay,
but don't watch it, listeners.
Please do not.
Worst director: Hugh Hudson for Revolution, George Cosmatos for Rambo: First Blood Part 2, Michael Cimino for Year of the Dragon, Richard Brooks for Fever Pitch. But the winner, Sylvester Stallone for Rocky IV, he was just sweeping it up.
He was sweeping it up. Oh, man. Those are easy. He's an easy target, too.
He is. Yeah, that's the thing. The bigger you are, the easier it is to fall. So,
yeah.
Worst picture. So these are pretty much the ones we've talked about. Year of the Dragon, Rocky IV, Revolution, Fever Pitch. Winner, Rambo, First Blood, Part 2.
Two. Cleaning up. Now, do you remember Rambo, First Blood, Part 2?
Vaguely. I mean, I saw it, but I didn't watch it like my friend watched it.
You can, it teeters because the first one was a good movie. The last 3 is terrible.
Yeah.
And you can see it starts off and there's like some potential and then they really just completely go in a different direction.
Correct.
And the name of the first movie is First Blood. Yes. And then the second one is First Blood Part 2. And the third one is just Rambo 3.
Correct. I like, hated
it's kind of Rambo
that.
1, right?
It is. Technically, it's Rambo 2. First Blood Part 3.
Rambo 2. Right. First Blood Part. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think so, literally, if I remember, I think that the second one was going to be called Second Blood at one point in my movie magazines at the time, if I remember correctly. But
it wouldn't have made sense. Second Blood.
Yeah. Third Blood then. But then they just became Rambo 3. Yeah. I remember as a Roman numeral and sequelitis person, I'm like, that's not real. Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of irks you a little bit. You're like,
You know, when they go from like Roman numerals to, you know, Halloween went from Roman numerals then to numbers, you know, Roman numeral 2 and 3, then numbers 4 and 5, and then they dropped the 6. And but anyway.
Right. And then it just went on from there. Right. Yeah. Right.
And like,
right.
And for my website, I'm like, how am I supposed to? I can't be mixing it up.
13th got it right.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't the numerals. Well, they did, except they. The final chapter technically did not have a Roman numeral at the time, but then they
Okay.
kind of they went back and started adding Roman numerals. But anyway.
Good call. Not as bad as the final night or the final, what is it? Jason goes to hell, the final Friday. They
Yes.
couldn't use Friday the 13th because of the new line or
Correct.
something.
That is correct. So
So that's always kind of a weird. The Rustler's Rhapsody.
are you just intrigued with
I
that
just can't believe this movie exists because
now?
the marketing for it, you could think it's a serious film. There's nothing on the cover or anything that indicates it's a comedy, but then it's supposed to be a singing cowboy parody.
Yeah.
I just love that you've seen this and that you like hate it and it's bad.
If I have, it's been decades. So obviously, even as a teenager, this had zero to give me. But I'll watch the trailer maybe later and see if that's kind of enough to remind me of anything.
With, and this was a movie you unintentionally came across.
Yeah. Because, you know, at in the 80s, HBO, you were just what was on, what was on. You know, you only had, you were limited in your viewing.
Yeah, if you're gonna do that, if it's on, you're at the mercy of the programming.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. And that is the Razzies. Congratulations, Sylvester. I know you listened to the show. Finally, we're gonna do. I didn't have a guess the movie by tagline. I was gonna save that for another show,
All right.
but I wanted to do Blind Man's Bluff.
But wait a
Since
second,
our
though. Did you watch Galaxy Quest?
oh yes, I did watch Galaxy Quest. I can chalk that off my homework list. Thank God.
And was it everything you dreamed of,
It
or
was
everything
really
I
great.
dreamt that you dreamt of? Yeah.
My wife came in. She's like, "Oh, you're watching Galaxy Quest? I love this movie." I'm like, "You've seen it?" She's like, "Yeah, it's like one of the best movies ever." We watched it and loved it.
Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, so
It's a
good.
good job. It's to,
She's
however, I
just
can't
so
remember.
good.
I just like to repeat the computer. Yeah. Computer. What?
You know what I was like laughing so hard at is when they finally go to the real ship and they're like, you know, we've mirror it's a, actually like a brilliant idea. Like, well, they've mirrored this to replicate what was in the TV show. So take your seats. And the guy that flies the ship, he's
Yeah.
pulling out and it's scratching against, and there's you see things
Oh.
chipping off, and he's and
Yes.
it's like 3 minutes long. It's like a real car, and then finally they get out, they're like, yeah.
I love that film. And now, was that 99? I think it came out. I mean, is it
Was it
24 years old?
99?
Yeah. So I love Galaxy Quest, so.
It is a good movie. Are you do you watch that a lot? Like at least once a year?
Maybe every other year.
Yeah.
Just because sometimes that kind of has to be on. I don't always intentionally put it on, but there's enough that, you know, between Alan Rickman and Sigourney, of course,
Yeah.
and so forth. So, and yeah, there's a couple locations I still haven't found. So you probably recognize that the when there is kind of the electronic store is actually the top of the garage at the Peterson Museum. Which took me, I mean, the first time I went there, they had all these tents. I didn't get a good shot, but I think I went back and got better shots. But and then where the car or the limousine kind of first kind of goes up or whatever is was in the alley next to my Scott Michaels, who does Dearly Departed tours and so or used to do. But he pointed that out to me that it's like he lived right across the street from Paramount Studios, so that's why they
It was right
chose
there.
that alley. Yeah, so.
The movie was Galaxy Quest was praised, I read too, by like Star Trek fans and stuff like that, like just for getting the culture right. I don't
Oh
know the
yeah.
culture of the Star Trek conventions, but apparently like they nailed it and
Absolutely.
it
Justin
was
Long is great in it.
he is great in that, yeah. The thing that he drops, that the beam or whatever it's called, and he finds the real one, it was actually really funny, and how they pick it up at the end, and it's like, "Hey, I was a dick to you, but you kind of have this thing we need," and it's, oh, it is
Is
funny.
awesome. So Missy Pyle, I think that was one of her first roles or when she kind of came in. And Rainn
Yeah,
Wilson from The Office is one of, yeah, so
pre-office, Rainn Wilson.
yeah.
So yeah, thanks for that recommendation. That's a good
Good.
homework list. I
Yeah.
just have to watch Pirate Movie and Jazz Singer, and I'm caught
Oof.
up.
They're just as good.
Is the pirate movie really that bad, or is it
It's a
unintentionally
it is a
funny?
guilty pleasure of mine.
Okay. So it'll be enjoyable.
Yeah, sometimes it gets a little long, whatever, but I love the earnestness and I love the songs.
Absolutely. Okay, and finally, it's time for Blind Man's Bluff, and we're going to go through one of Robert's entries, and we're going to kick off with the description.
Okay.
All right, Robert, tell me what film this is. While I was in Utah a few years ago doing locations for Silent Night, Deadly Night, Halloween 4, Halloween 5, Halloween 6, Footloose, and The Stand, I thought I would hit up a few spots from this.
Dumb and Dumber?
Right out of the gate.
Huh. I was
you
like,
nailed that.
It probably helped that you listed off all the, I was like, what other films was there? So
is that what it was? Because you got that right out of the gate. Dumb and Dumber, random generator here. Tell us about this, sir. I didn't realize this was all filmed in Utah.
Yeah, mostly Utah for a number or so. And it's one of those, like, while I was there, you know, like, I crammed it a lot those kind of couple days for sure. So so the Grey Poupon scene, it's, I don't know if we call this a classic, but yeah, so this, and some of these are just kind of right around some Halloween locations, but
yeah, which is cool.
Yeah. And some, I really don't remember, some of these might've been publicized before, like these random warehouse locations.
I was going to ask, that's pretty good. They got these.
Yeah. It might've been published before. I don't know. So, or I kind of put it into,
no, you're just that good.
I could be just that good. No.
You're just that good. It's true.
But so some of those scenes, and then you know me, like I try to get every little.
You really got these.
If I have time and have time, so this I couldn't get quite the right shot where I wanted. So where the dogmobile is kind of leaps into.
I love that scene.
My pictures don't look as hilly. It is kind of hilly. But I did my best.
No, it looks good.
Yeah, and now it's the trees are overgrown because you can match up the apartments behind there. So
okay.
Salt Lake City Airport, of course. Airports usually don't change too much.
Is that a smaller airport?
No, it's pretty decent. It's an international airport. So
okay.
For that, and TWA kind of dates it.
Oh, I love it. I love the old TWA.
Yeah. Their apartment building, and that's been published, and a lot of fans go to the little apartment courtyard. So luckily, it's much nicer in real life than...
Yeah, than that.
What you see in the movie. But
yeah.
And the little pretty bird.
He's just petting him. Oh,
yeah. So outside of Salt Lake, so this kind of motel was in Heber City, which was a lot of Silent Night, Deadly Night was kind of shot in that area. So.
Oh, cool.
The Dante's Inferno. I can't remember what this is in real life, but... it was not that, so.
Oh, it looks like an American Legion.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Makes sense.
I do know this kind of convenience store was some, like, a cash checking place.
Sure,
Salt Lake. So, this, outside of the gala is kind of near downtown, but when they go inside, it's a completely different place. Unsurprisingly, and you may recognize this is the old Union Pacific Depot that was also used in The Stand. Yep.
Yeah, that's, I forgot about that. I mean, I forgot it was in this. That's so cool.
And then went to Park City to get some Mary's parents, which actually that turned out pretty well.
That's pretty
out of the way, you know, going up to the mountains to get some of these shots.
That was a single home.
Yep.
Cool.
And then I can't remember the bad guy's house, but went to that one as well. And then in Park City, a couple of shots. So I didn't get to all the places there. There's a few more locations that I just
got some great ones though.
Time to get to. But yeah, so.
And Jay.
Always great, Lynn Shay. And then I know I saw that car, the dogmobile at some point. So
is that the actual one used in the film?
I think it is, actually, if I remember correctly, that. They bring it around to different places. So, as we should do with all movie cars.
Yes, we should just bring them around, please. There are many great comedies made in the world, but this one is number one. Actually, sir, it's number two.
What's number one?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, of course.
Oh, okay. Of course.
Rustlers.
Oh, Rustlers Revenge. Number three.
Yeah, let's do it. That's a great page though. That's a great entry.
It was
really
kind of
a lot of good work there.
Yeah. So yeah. That was a busy time because I did all those.
Yeah.
All of the Stand, Silent Night, Deadly Night,
Halloween's,
Footloose. I mean, I was going.
You must have been there for like a week or two.
Yeah. No, I was like literally, I think 3 days or something like that. So.
Whoa.
And I remember one time, sorry, there was like on the interstate and there's like a traffic. It was like, what is the big deal? Whatever. And plane crashed on the highway. I found out
no
later. Yeah.
So, wow.
And I think the plane took off from a small airport, which was the bus station on Halloween 6, that, which is my location the next day. So
really?
It was kind of weird. Yeah.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Wow. What year did you do that?
I think it was 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, so not too long ago.
No,
but,
no.
But yeah,
that was a great entry and great work.
But yeah, Footloose, I kind of looked more fondly on those locations since that kind of brought me back to some childhood when I was 14.
Oh, yeah.
Impressionable.
Your impressionable minds of Robert. Your Footloose page is pretty great, too.
It is fun, so.
It is fun. Well, that'll be our show tonight. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to the podcast. We'll set you for Saturdays. And don't forget to follow Robert on Instagram. @set_jetter. Thank you all, and we will see you on the set.